A little visitor this morning, helper. Please be with me as we read from the Bible this morning. We're reading from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through to 13, which you'll find at page 806 of your red Bibles. And before we do that, let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray you will guide our minds and our hearts for the next few minutes as we open your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour."
Good morning, congregation. I'm John Knibber, and I'm one of the elders here. It's my privilege to bring you the message this morning. At 11 minutes past 2, on the afternoon of the 9th of December last year, the White Island volcano erupted. The impact was immediate and devastating for a group of tourists and guides who had taken boats to a desolate island to get a glimpse of a natural wonder. A scene of stunning beauty suddenly turned into a deadly trap. The New Zealand official earthquake monitoring body stated that explosive eruptions can happen with little or no warning. As Christians, we believe that Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth, suffered and died to do away with sin, that he arose from the dead, that he ascended into heaven, and that one day he will return. Similarly to the White Island volcano eruption, his return will be suddenly and without warning. We don't know when that will be, but we do know that it will happen and that it is possible to prepare for it. How do we know this? Jesus tells us in today's passage. In verse 13 of Matthew 25, we read, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." The Apostle John also refers to his coming again as follows. "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him." And that brings us to the big idea of today's message. Keep watch, so that we shall be found prepared, and in our appearances bear the same features as the Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we may be gathered around your word this morning. Your word is like a hammer that breaks a rock. I ask that you will speak your word through me by your Spirit, and that we may be reminded of the truth and meaning of this passage. Help us to understand it, and that it may help us to live our Christian lives better, so you will be glorified. Amen. Brothers and sisters, if you happen to go on a journey or holiday, do you prepare and pack meticulously? I do, because it helps me to make our holiday adventure a success. I normally have a list of what to bring, and after every item that gets packed, I tick it on the list. Imagine arriving at the check-in for the Spirit of Tasmania, and then to discover that you forgot your wallet with your tickets and identity papers. That will be devastating. Read with me the first 6 verses of today's passage from Matthew 25. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." The main thing we glean from this passage is point number 1, that Christians are on a journey to meet the bridegroom. The foolish virgins were careless in preparing for their journey. It's not that they didn't pack, because they took lamps, but alas, no spare oil. They did not plan properly and did not count on the fact that the bridegroom could be a long time coming and could even come at night. In this parable, Jesus emphasizes the need to keep watch and be prepared in view of the coming judgment. He differentiates between those that are wise and made preparations at the right time, and the fools who did not prepare and tried to rely on others when the bridegroom came. The Wikipedia website tells us that in the Middle Ages, this was one of the most popular parables. And when Graham suggested this passage to me to prepare a message on, I discovered that this parable may be confronting. It compels us to face the truth about our inner spiritual lives and our walk with God. With some Christians today, the day of the return of the Messiah is not a favorable subject, because it tells of judgment. They do believe that Christ will come the second time, and they don't pretend to know when. Yet they are confident that it won't be happening soon or during their lifetime. Christ's return will come suddenly and completely unexpected. We must be wise in our hearts and humbly realize that God is in control here, and man is of no account. Therefore, we must pay attention to Jesus' warning, keep watch. In Matthew 24, the disciples pointed out to Jesus how impressive the temple buildings were. He told them that not one stone will be left on another. And then Jesus began a long explanation about the end of the age and his coming again. Jesus spent a great deal of time talking to the disciples about this event. It occupies almost 2 whole chapters of Matthew, including 5 parables, and therefore we should have good reasons to conclude that this will be a very important event. The Savior makes it clear to us how we are to wait for his coming, and how he compares his coming to a wedding feast. The bridegroom represents the Messiah, and the virgins, who were to meet him on their way to the wedding feast represent people that know about Christ and his return, spiritually wise people and spiritually foolish people. All the virgins are carrying lamps with them. The Bible dictionary tells us that the lamps that were in use during the time of Jesus's were a closed bowl with only a hole on the top to pour in the oil, a spout for the wick, and a handle to carry it. And because these lamps contained only a few spoonfuls of oil, a reserve supply would be necessary. The wise virgins had spare oil, but the foolish ones did not. Christians are people on a journey and are on their way to a wedding feast. Wouldn't that be one of the most enjoyable of journeys, to be on our way to a wedding feast and to meet our bridegroom? As a family, we went on a guided horse riding trip once. The horses walked us to a scenic spot and then back again. The trip home took less time than the trip out. It was remarkable that the horses were more determined and motivated when their faces were towards home. Shouldn't we also labor and suffer the more joyously because our journey leads towards our Father's house, the dear home and resting place of our soul? Read with me the verses 10 to 12 of today's passage. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you." From this, we find out point number two, that only the spiritually prepared will be known by Jesus as his friends. The bridegroom was a long time in coming. The virgins waited and waited, and finally they fell asleep. At midnight, a voice cries out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." The virgins attended to their lamps because it was midnight and they needed light. The foolish ones discover that they don't have any spare oil. So they ask the wise ones, "Please give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." The wise ones replied, "No, there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." The oil in this parable represents spiritual preparedness, and this is not something that can be distributed around or be shared in a crisis at the time of the return of the bridegroom. The wise virgins are not being selfish, but realistic, and they continue on their way to meet the bridegroom with their lamps burning. He knows the wise virgins to be his friends. They have their lamps burning and were ready. But he doesn't know the foolish ones to be his friends. They came too late. The door was shut. They were not ready and had to stay outside. The fools are those who are spiritually not prepared. They may be religious in appearance. They may go to church meetings faithfully, participate in all kinds of activities, and they may remember the poor. All very good in itself, but their reason may be to conform or make a good impression. They trust in themselves and are ignorant of the need to repent. Their heart is far away from God. This parable is addressed to the disciples, but also to us as people in the church, to make us understand and realize our responsibilities and the need to keep watch as part of the family of God. Otherwise, we may not be known by the bridegroom as his friends. The Apostle Peter warns us about this when he says, "For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God." Now, why would Jesus choose 10 virgins and not 10 women or 10 men? Virgins have an innocence, goodness, and fairness about them. It is assumed that they live sexually pure lives, and these 10 virgins all knew about the Lord. Why shouldn't the bridegroom let them all in? In the eyes of the world, all 10 virgins should be led into the wedding feast because they all appear to be good. Some people in their old age, when they are close to dying, say to us, "I've lived a good life. Surely there will be a place for me in heaven." Or at funerals, we occasionally hear that he or she lived a good life and was a good person. What should our response be? Jesus makes it clear to his disciples that keeping the law and to depend on this for your own righteousness is not proper preparation. The 19th century preacher C.H. Spurgeon noted the following: "At the gate of heaven, a maiden comes forward, fair and comely, but the angel in charge sees not in that sparkling eye and ruddy cheek the beauty for which he is looking." We have to leave judgment up to God, because for us, looking at it from the outside, our judgment is not perfect. And there can be occasions that we see no difference between the wise and the fools in God's church. The logic of God's kingdom is different than ours. His standards are true and just. He looks for another kind of beauty on the inside. It is like when the baker checks the inside of a cake with a skewer. And in this way he tests whether the cake has been in the oven long enough to properly bake the inside. God looks for those who in holiness are made like their Lord. Earthly moral values do not count. When the bridegroom returns, it will be terrible for some. They are not prepared for sudden disaster. At that time, repentance will no longer be possible, and it will be too late to pray, for the time of mercy will have expired. Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. It will come suddenly, like the eruption of the White Island volcano." It is important for us to be alert and be aware that his return could come any time. And although we do not know when it will be, we are able to discern the times we live in, and so use the time we have now to prepare for Jesus' return. In Jeremiah 8, verse 7, it says, "Even the stork in the sky knows her seasons, and the turtle dove and the swift and the thrush observe the time of their migration. But my people do not know the requirements of the Lord." In those days, even the migratory birds had more sense of time than the people of God. Let this be a warning for us, that the right time to prepare for his return is now. We must repent and be reconciled to God now. We shouldn't be like Governor Felix in Acts 24, when he said, after he had heard from the Apostle Paul about the coming judgment, "That's enough for now, you may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you." We are called to read his word. Take heed and do what it says. It's no good having a family Bible on the shelf and never to read it. How are we then to keep watch and be prepared? It's about keeping on being prepared. ready and always live in expectation of our Saviour's return. Does it mean we have to stay awake all of the time? No. All the virgins went to sleep because the groom did not come in the daytime and it became evening and night. The word watch in this context is a translation of a Greek word, which means to stay awake or to be sleepless. It is meant here in the spiritual sense to be on guard, to be vigilant, to be on the alert and intently focused. We have to ask ourselves, how will he find us at his return? Are we willing to meet him immediately, or have we fallen asleep in our faith? We generally do not visit our friends when they are asleep. And if we are with them and sense that they are getting sleepy, we excuse ourselves and leave. Christ does the same with us. He withdraws until we are better awake and fit to receive his love. In John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, the main character, Christian, counsels his fellow traveler, whose name is Ignorance. He says, "Wake up, open your eyes, see your own wretchedness, and fly to the Lord Jesus, and by his righteousness you shall be delivered from condemnation." The Apostle Paul warns us, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. He urges us to examine ourselves and pray that God will give us faith so that we, in humbleness, yield our heart to Christ, that we might repent before him, accept the sacrifice of his blood and body as a remedy to wash away our sins. Let the Lord Jesus Christ be in complete control of our life, and so keep our vision on the day that he returns. When we do this, Christ will not withdraw, and we may experience his benefits. And that brings us to a fourth point: the good promises that God gives to those who are prepared. We may be confident and sure of his promise when he says in John 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand." He also has promised that he will confide in us, that he will give us faith, that his light will shine on us, and that we shall bear his likeness. And this is our church's vision, to see everyone conformed to the likeness of Christ. Jesus said, "The Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." To people who have turned away from idols and who have been brought from darkness into light to serve the God who is alive and true, there is nothing disturbing or terrifying in this statement from Jesus. On the contrary, it is a comfort to all them that are part of his covenant and are looking forward to his coming, and to know that suddenly the cry will be heard, "Here is the bridegroom." For this means the end of sin, sorrow, and pain, and leads them to joy and pleasures at God's right hand forever. To sum up, we are to keep watch so that we shall be found prepared and in our appearances bear the same features as the Lord Jesus. The following gospel song expresses it well. "Keeping your love light shining here below, trusting the one from whom all blessings flow. Lo, I am with you," are the words he said. "Press on, O pilgrim, there is joy ahead." Amen. Let us pray. Forgive us, Lord, if we bear so little resemblance to people on their way to a wedding feast. Forgive us if our lamps do not burn the way they should. Forgive us if we think we have enough oil, but in reality we have not. Lord, we pray that we may resemble your likeness more and more and may be awake and keep our lamps burning. At times, this is hard to do by ourselves. Therefore, we thank you for your church and for the communion of saints. Grant that every Sunday may point to the bridal procession that is coming. Amen.